भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, The Rainy Season and Autumn, Text Number 5. Word meanings, Ashtau, 8, Maasan, during months, Nipitam, drunk, yet, which, Bhumya, of the earth, cha, and Uda Mayam, consisting of water, Vasu, the wealth, Swagobi, by his own rays, Moktum, to release, Arebhe, began, Parjanya, the sun, Kale, the proper time, Agate, when it arrived. Ashtamasan nipitam yad Pumyaschodamayam vasu Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate Ashtamasan nipitam yad Bhumyaschodamayam vasu Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate Ashtamasan nipitam yad Bhumyaschodamayam vasu Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate Ashtamasan nipitam yad Bhumyaschodamayam vasu Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate Ashtamasan nipitam yad Bhumyaschodamayam vasu Swagobhir moktum arebhe Parjanya kala agate. Ladies. Ashtamasanipitamya. Humyaschodamayam vasu. Svagovir Muktamarebhe Ajanya Kala Agati. Translation. With its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. Purport. The Acharyas compare the sun's evaporating the earth's wealth of water to a king's collecting taxes. In Volume 1, Chapter 20 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada explains this analogy as follows. Clouds are accumulated water drawn from the land by the sunshine. Continually for 8 months, the sun evaporates all kinds of water from the surface of the globe, and this water is accumulated in the shape of clouds, which are distributed as water when there is need. Similarly, a government exacts various taxes from the citizens, which the citizens are able to pay by their different material activities, agriculture, trade, and industry. Thus, the government can also exact taxes in the form of income tax and sales tax. This is compared to the sun drawing water from the earth. When there is again need of water on the surface of the globe, the same sunshine converts the water into clouds and distributes it all over the globe. Similarly, the taxes collected by the government must be distributed to the people as educational work, public work, sanitation work, and so on. This is essential for a good government. The government should not simply exact taxes for useless squandering. The tax collection should be utilized for the public welfare of the state. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Ashtoma Sanipitam Yad Bhumyas Chodamayam Vasu Swab Gobir Moktam Aribhe Parjanya Kala Agati. With its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. In 1961, Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi preaching, and one of his acquaintances there told him about a congress or conference that was to be held in Japan called the Conference of Human Understanding. And they were inviting people from around the world to participate in this congress. And Srila Prabhupada, he was very interested, so he wrote a letter to the person, Mr. Nakano in Japan, saying he was interested in going. And the man replied that he would pay all the expenses for Prabhupada to come there, or not to come, but while he was there in Japan, but he would have to arrange his own transportation to get there. So this is one of Prabhupada's first endeavors to leave India, to preach outside of India. So he was very enthusiastic about this. This was January 1961. The conference was in May. So Prabhupada had just a few months to get the government of India to pay his way there, give him the necessary papers and so on. But he made a proposal to this man, Mr. Nakano, that what he wanted to do. He said, I want to present 50 lessons, and each one of these should be illustrated. And he had it all planned out, what they would be. And what they were this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's commentary on these different verses. So this was the very first lesson. The verse we read today was the first of those lessons. That was where Prabhupada was going to have some writing, and then he was also going to make a presentation to the assembly. Then he wanted to have some panels made up with an illustration by one of the Japanese artists, and then the explanation. So what happened, of course, was the government of India wasn't cooperative. The conference was being organized by private individuals, so that was their excuse. Prabhupada had a relationship with the vice president of India, Dr. Radhakrishnan. He wrote him a letter, didn't get any response, so he visited him personally, and he still refused. He wouldn't sponsor Prabhupada or given the necessary papers so he could leave the country. But Prabhupada did write, he wrote 48 of the 50, and these were later put together in a book called Light of the Bhagavat. So that's the origin of that. And the BBT, they hired an artist, a Chinese artist actually, to illustrate that book. So that's available. So I thought I'd read the lesson that Prabhupada wrote for this particular verse, which is it's verse number 2 of Light of the Bhagavat. So the translation is a little bit different, so I'll read that too. The scorching heat of the sun evaporates water from the seas, rivers, lakes, and reservoirs, and there's little water anywhere. People become thirsty and always look overhead for rain, but in despair. Yet just at the right moment, torrents of rain begin to fall everywhere in the land, even on the hard stones, and the land becomes overflooded. So his commentary. The welfare state imposes upon its citizens scorching taxes in various forms. Income tax, sales tax, land tax, terminal tax, excise tax, customs tax, and so many other taxes. But in due course, when the taxes accumulate into a large sum of money, they are utilized for the welfare of the citizens in various ways. Nonetheless, sometimes it happens that the benefits of the taxes fall like rains on stone-hearted men in the state who are unable to utilize the money properly and who squander it for sense gratification. The common man supposes the unequal distribution of rain to represent nature's wrath for our sinful acts. There is truth in this. Thus, to have an equal distribution of state-raised taxes, the citizens need to be scrupulously honest and virtuous. They should be honest in the payment of taxes to the state and should have honest representatives to look over the administration. In the modern setup of democratic states, the citizens have no cause for grievances because the whole administration is conducted by the people themselves. If the people themselves are dishonest, the administrative machinery must be corrupt. Although a damned government of the people may be given a good or fancy name, if people are not good, they cannot have good government, regardless of which party governs the administration. Therefore, good character in the consciousness of the mass of people is the first principle necessary for a good government and equal distribution of wealth. In ancient days, the kings were taught lessons in political philosophy by ideal teachers, and the citizens from village to village were taught the principles of self-realization according to the Vedic code for both the material and spiritual upliftment of society. Therefore, the citizens were God-conscious and honest in their dealings, and the kings were responsible for the welfare of the state. The same basic principles are accepted in the democratic governments of the present day. For the irresponsible party of the people is always voted out of power and must yield to the responsible party for a better government. In the cosmic administration, there is only one party, which consists of the servants of God. And the responsible deities of the various planets maintain the cosmic laws in terms of the orders of the Supreme Lord. But the people suffer on account of their own folly. And what is that folly? In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that people should perform yajñas or sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. The Supreme is all-pervading. Therefore, people must learn to perform yajñas to satisfy the all-pervading Supreme Truth. There are different yajñas prescribed for different ages, and in the present age of iron industry, the yajña that enlightens the mind of the masses for God consciousness is recommended. This process of yajña is called Sankirtan Yajña, or mass agitation for invoking man's lost spiritual consciousness. As soon as this movement is taken up through spiritual singing, dancing, and feasting, the people will automatically become obedient and honest. Obedience is the first law of discipline. The people have become disobedient to the laws of God, and therefore neither rain nor wealth is equally distributed. A man who is ultimately disobedient cannot have any good qualifications. When disobedient leaders lead the disobedient people, the whole atmosphere of the administration becomes polluted and full of dangers, as when a blind man leads several other blind men. The state taxes, therefore, should be spent to build the character of the people in general. That will bring happiness to the citizens of the state. So that's a sample from that book. Quite amazing, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada's vision. So we see here one of the points Prabhupada is making is that we can't just blame the leaders. Of course, Prabhupada did a fair share of that, that's for sure. I was just looking out on the bulletin board here. There's a from page Xerox from a Sankirtan newsletter, excerpt from Prabhupada, purport 10.3.21. So he's quoting Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. And he's talking about how the leaders today are asuras, just like in former times Krishna had to appear because there were so many demoniac leaders. So in this age, Krishna has appeared as his holy name. And he said we should be very eager to accept that, accept the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so that we can deal with these asuras who are misleading the people. So the leaders, of course, they have power. Even today, people follow leaders. They look to them for guidance. But they're, of course, disappointed because the leaders have no training. Asangskrita kriyahina rajasa tamasavrita. It's said in the 12th canto where the list of the different contaminations of the age of Kali are given. So one of them is that the leaders will be asangskrita, so they won't have undergone any samskars. What are samskars? We call them, or Prabhupada translated them as reformatory methods. So reformation, rituals of reformation, we can say. So they're not reformed, in other words. They're not trained. Asangskrita kriya hina. They haven't undergone any of those. Therefore, rajasa tamasavrita. They're covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. Now, the 12th canto, of course, it predicts quite extreme situations, maybe later in Kali Yuga, but we see them already. We can say, as Prabhupada often did, that the world, even at the present time, is being run by asuras. If you're covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, then you can be called an asura. Sura means goodness, qualities of goodness. But if you're covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, then you're asura. And as the Bhagavatam says, you have no good qualities. Sometimes devotees, they find this disturbing. No good qualities. Well, it seems like people have good qualities. They have some good qualities, don't they? But manorati nasata dhavato vahi, because they're guided by their passions, really, by ignorance and passion, then the basis of what they do, even though it appears good, is ultimately it's selfish. It doesn't have a proper motive. Sura, or good qualities, should be motivated by the desire to serve God. Ultimately, that's what we're striving for. That's what human society should strive for. That should be the vision of leaders of society. We know in former times, as Prabhupada mentions here, how the kings, they would engage the citizens in sacrifice because they knew that that's what life is for. As Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna set up a system of sacrifice to please the demigods. If you please the demigods, they'll shower their blessings, shower bounty upon you. So, of course, we please the demigods by pleasing Krishna, by offering sacrifice to Krishna. So the kings in former times, not only were they powerful persons, there are many places where Prabhupada talks about how the king has to be a powerful person. He has to be able to cut down the miscreants. So they were powerful and they were also saintly. But on the powerful side, there are places where Prabhupada says that the first duty of the government is to protect the citizens. And if the government can't do that, then they shouldn't be taking taxes from the people. And how do they protect the people by having a strong hand? I thought it was interesting in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, danda dhamayatam asmi. Dhammayata means agents of suppression. So Krishna says, of agents of suppression, especially we're talking about government here, how to suppress the miscreants, I am. Now, when Krishna, in this whole list of Krishna says, of this I am, of this I am, we know that Krishna is, the example that's given is always the best in that category. Isn't that the general rule that we see in all of these? So the agents of suppression, Krishna says, danda. Of course, danda means rod, but it means punishment. So I was thinking, this is interesting because there is always debate in society, you know, how do we rule the people? What do we do about crime? Should we just be nice to people and, you know, love them a lot so maybe they'll be nice? You know, do we send them to psychiatrists? So Krishna says, no, punishment. Of agents of suppression, I am punishment. Of course, this came out in the pastime of King Vena. King Vena was ruthless, but there was at least some law and order when he was there. And at least the thieves and rogues and highway robbers were kept in check. Because when Vena was killed, then the sages, they said, we have to do something about this. There's law and order everywhere. He was a tyrant, but at least he kept the miscreants in check. So the government has to have some power like that. Of course, that power has to be guided by vision. Today there's a lot of power in all different realms of material existence, but there's no vision. That was like an example I heard years ago. Power, just like you have a very powerful car, but if you don't know how to drive it, you step on the gas and take off, and what kind of havoc you can cause. Don't know how to control it. You don't have a vision. Don't know how to drive. So people come to the power of the state, just like the president of the United States is sometimes called the most powerful man in the world. But if he's not guided by proper vision, then how much havoc can he cause? There's always, of course, debate about how much of it is his fault, leaders today. And then Prabhupada also, of course, he says the same thing, because the government of the people, you're electing from among yourselves someone to represent you. So that person is going to be like you. And if you're all rascals, uneducated, mudhas, no qualification, then your leader is going to be from the same stock. So what havoc will be there? There will be so much havoc. So we, of course, we may also ourselves sometimes think, well, it's not so bad. It's a symptom of Kali Yuga to think things aren't so bad. But they are bad. People are going to hell wholesale because there are no leaders to guide. They're asuric leaders. They don't know how to guide the people. So our solution, of course, is to educate. One of the things Prabhupada said in this light of the Bhagavad commentary was money should be spent for the education of the people. Taxes should be spent for the education of the people. Besides public works, roads and things like that. But people should be educated. And they should be, of course, educated. What does that mean? Educated in Krishna consciousness. Educated in God consciousness. Enlightened. Real education means enlightenment. Understanding the purpose of life and how to act in that way. So the leaders, of course, they first have to be educated. We can see when Srila Prabhupada, and he himself said that he wrote these books for the intellectuals, or for the intelligent class of people. In other words, they're written for brahmanas. They're written for leaders, but of course leaders should know themselves, but leaders guided by brahmanas. Especially in the first canto, the first books that Srila Prabhupada wrote in India, you can see that what he's thinking about is guiding the leaders of society. He's writing these books to guide the leaders of society. Of course, what happens is the leaders of society are so, they tend to be the biggest asuras, so they're not interested. What happened, Prabhupada came to America with these books to lead, these books to guide the leaders of society, and who read them? All the hippies. Those who had rejected everything, rejected society. But Prabhupada, of course, using the principle of yukta vairagya, well, this is what I got. This is what Krishna has sent me. So let me train them. They may not be so educated. Of course, there are many intelligent devotees, of course, but they tended not to be from, and they didn't have any significant position in society. They didn't have any power, really, to do anything. But still, of course, right from the beginning, Prabhupada was training them to be brahmanas, enlightened. Because even Prabhupada himself said, not everyone is going to understand what I've written, is going to understand these books. Really, only few people will. And the principle is there in the Vedic scriptures that you have some people who understand and they teach others, at least teach others the basics. Even we see in our movement, there are, you know, many devotees that kind of have a hard time reading regularly and diligently Srila Prabhupada's books, studying Srila Prabhupada's books. And there's so much there. I find myself, I kind of like to read and study. And sometimes I feel like, oh, there's so many books, I need to get through them. And sometimes this mood is there. Oh, look at that Chaitanya Charitamrita, all these books, you know, here I am, I'm plodding along here. It's like I have to read, because sometimes you read something and it may be 30 years until you get back to it again. There's so much to read. So I had this tendency sometimes to be impatient. It's like I want to, you know, check off, have a list of the books and check them off. Okay, I read this one, I read this one, I read that one. But these books aren't just for breezing through. They're meant for studying and contemplating. Srila Prabhupada said that he wrote these books for his disciples. Also, he said that, of course. He was sometimes disturbed when devotees didn't know things. And he said they're not just for distributing, they're for reading yourselves. You have to know them, you have to read them. And we should think like that when we read the books, that Srila Prabhupada, because I think sometimes we take, well, this is all kind of theoretical and it doesn't really have much to do with me. But we should be thinking, no, Prabhupada is talking to me specifically. He's writing for me. So I need to understand what he said. And everything he put there, that's also for us. One thing I have a hard time with is when I'm reading is that I don't tend to read the word for word, because I want to, as I said, I want to get going, you know. But we do it for class and it's nice, and sometimes I can, all right, I'm just going to slow down and look at it. And you can get so much by reading the word for word. For one thing, you can learn some Sanskrit, which is kind of nice since it's the language of our liturgy. If we learn some vocabulary, learn what some of these words mean, so when we're saying them, we kind of understand. And sometimes in the word for word, as we see in class, that sometimes we get, there's a little more that's brought out when you read the word for word. And the translations, sometimes it's actually slightly different from what we see in the word for word. So there's so much there. So we have to mine this wealth, and we have to really understand it. Otherwise, so many concoctions arise in our movement, even today. Things come up. That tendency is always going to be there. Even Krishna had to come back and speak Bhagavad Gita. He said, I spoke it to the sun god. And of course, he comes in different avatars and he speaks to different times throughout history. But he always has to come and refresh our memory, collective memory of human society, because contamination comes in. So in our understanding of Srila Prabhupada also, we have to really understand what Prabhupada's essential message was, the import of what he was saying, and really understand it thoroughly. So we have to study that carefully. I think most devotees are intelligent enough, if they want to do it, they can do it. But especially some devotees have to really, really study these books. I just want to mention, I've been on this website, ISKCON Desire Tree. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this website, ISKCON Desire Tree. It's done by a group of devotees in India. One devotee manages it, Vaishnav Sevadas, and he's actually hired a whole group of devotees, and they're just, this website is just packed with things. So it has all kinds of lectures on it too there. So you can go there, you can listen to seminars and lectures by so many different devotees. So I happened to come across a seminar by Suhotra Swami, an old friend of Shesha Prabhu's from the BBT Library Party. He passed away in 2007, but he was quite an intellectual person. So he gave this seminar called The Philosophy of Transcendence. And it's just amazing. I mean, I was listening to this, I'm saying, wow, he really knows his stuff, boy. And I didn't know this was in the Bhagavatam. I'm reading it, and he's quoting different philosophers, Western philosophers, and he's supporting it. The amazing thing about it is that it's all there in the Bhagavatam, all these supporting verses, which I've read myself, and some I say, oh, that's what that means when he's explaining it. So there are some really intelligent devotees, and there's so much there, actually. And there's so many levels of understanding in Srila Prabhupada's books. So it's extremely important. We have such a wealth of information. We shouldn't take these books lightly. Srila Prabhupada himself, he would always say like that, don't take this lightly, he would say. And we should never think that we understand. I was just reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is meeting with Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi. So he's saying how my spiritual master, you know, saw that I was a fool, murka tumi. He called me a fool. And he said, you can't, you're not qualified to study Vedanta, just chant Hare Krishna, basically. So in the purport there, Prabhupada says that one should always think, that before the spiritual master, one should always think that he doesn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. But then he has to learn everything from the spiritual master. So that's the mood that one takes. I don't know anything. What is Prabhupada telling me? What is Prabhupada teaching me? And I really have to understand it. So we have to understand. One time Prabhupada said something like, we could take over the world in 18 days, but or Krishna could give us the world, but we're not qualified. Sometimes we think, oh, just, you know, maybe one of our devotees could be president of the United States, just imagine. But, you know, we have such a hard time managing one temple, what to speak of managing the country. So we have a ways to go before, because Krishna can give us everything. But you know, one time years ago, actually, Rupa Nugapuru, we wrote the Prabhupada about, because it says that when can turn bell metal into gold. And he wanted to do some research because he thought, well, we can get a lot of money for ISKCON if we do that. So Prabhupada said, no, we shouldn't bother ourselves with these things. And he said, because if we get too much money, we will be diverted. He said, that fault is there in our nature. So we're not ready to have a lot of opulence given to us because we don't know how to use it yet. So our leaders, of course, they're, at least we know something. We could do better, we would hope, than they're doing. Because at least we know the principle that human life is meant for God consciousness. But we have so much to do ourselves. Don't waste a minute, Prabhupada would always say. Why would he say that? Because there's so much to do. There's so much to learn. And it's not, and the more you read, just like Prabhupada would say, you can read Bhagavad Gita over and over and over again. And you'll always see new things. I was just reading in Shruti Kirti's What is the Difficulty? His memoirs. It's called What is the Difficulty? Because Prabhupada would say that. So he's saying there, one time Prabhupada was reading Bhagavad Gita. He would always read his books. During the day, Prabhupada, when he didn't have guests or something, he had his own sadhana. He would chant bhajans, and he would read his books. And he said one time he went in, Shruti Kirti came into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was reading, I think, Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada said, just by reading this one book, one can become Krishna conscious. And another time he came in, he was reading, you know, first canto of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, just by reading this one book, one could be Krishna conscious. Another time he was reading, I think, Nectar of Devotion. By just one, reading this one book, one could become Krishna conscious. So it's true, the essence of Krishna consciousness is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, if you read one sentence and understand it, really, we can become Krishna conscious. But we have to really, we have to have the desire. We can't concoct things and make things up, and we have to really understand what Srila Prabhupada is telling us, what his mood is. Sometimes I hear things and I think, boy, I can't believe this person is reading Prabhupada's books or listening to his lectures and saying such a thing. You know? So, we have to understand. Of course, I also have to take the humble position saying, I don't understand either. In fact, I can honestly say that. I don't understand. Listening to someone like Suhotra Swami, I said, whoa, there's a lot I don't understand. So there's so much there. We should apply our intelligence. Don't get distracted and try to understand these things. Because if we want qualified government, and this is what this is all about here, if we want qualified leaders, we ourselves have to become qualified so we can spread Krishna consciousness. That's really how we're going to get qualified leaders. The more we make the world Krishna conscious, the more we'll get the leaders that we deserve. Now we're getting the leaders we deserve, crackpots who don't know anything about the goal of life, because Krishna consciousness hasn't spread that much. I was thinking, even Prabhupada, I think devotees have this idea. Of course, Prabhupada did so much in a short time, and he planted so many seeds. But I think devotees think that Prabhupada had 10,000 disciples. Actually, he had less than 5,000, I'm pretty sure. It's in 4,000-something disciples. So, you know, that's not a lot. Say 400 disciples a year, something like that. So it seems like, you know, there was a time, a period there, when things really were on fire, it seemed like. But when you think of the size of the world, it's really not a lot. Of course, thousands and millions of books so have been distributed in so many. But still, this is Kali Yuga. It's tough going. There's a lot of contamination out there. So we have to become really pure. I mean, it's amazing what Srila Prabhupada did. But he also left so much for us to do, and he expected us to become qualified to carry on the work that he initiated. All right, so the verse again. Ashto maasan nipitam yad bhumyas chodamayam vasu swagobir moktam arebhe parjanya kala agate. With its rays, the sun had for 8 months drunk up the earth's wealth in the form of water. Now that the proper time had arrived, the sun began releasing this accumulated wealth. Oh, questions, comments, corrections, criticisms? Dr. Charles?
Yeah, thank you for a very nice class. You know, I often wonder that, you know, Prabhupada had very lofty ideas about changing the world in many ways, it seems. I mean, this book that you just talked about, and I just read a thing called the Peace Prayer, which is a sort of one, looked like a sort of one-page summary of
peace what formula.
This kind of idea. I mean, you wonder. I mean, you don't. I mean, could we be more proactive about what we're trying to do? I mean, you don't see any reference to ISKCON or any of these concepts in the mainstream media or anything, you know, YouTube. Oh, well, there is this stuff on YouTube, but. You know, I mean, this is what you may have. I don't know what comments on that, but these kind of books. If it was, I mean, is there some sort of issue that we? Is there something to do with the terminology, or is it just too dense or too complicated? Could it be summarized in some way that it could be spread more readily? Or, I mean, perhaps you might have some comments on that. What do you think?
Well, devotees are distributing Krishna consciousness according to their ability and their inspiration, and I think all I can say is, well, we're trying. And devotees have different ideas how to do it. We're doing, you know, the things that Prabhupada wanted. We're distributing books. The one thing that's interesting is that, I mean, I also had this idea. I always think, I wish we just had one book that really just kind of lays it out in a way. And sometimes I think about it myself, but I'm not sure how to do it exactly. How would I do it if I were going to do it? But it seems like Srila Prabhupada, in one way, Prabhupada, there's a transcendental way that the message goes to the soul. When I was distributing books, one of the books that came out was the first canto of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's not an easy book to follow, if you've ever read it. It's extremely philosophical, and the purports are way, you know, elevated. But we were distributing that at the airport, to brand new people who didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. So, but why? They just touch the book. They just read one word of the book, there's going to be some benefit, and maybe they can understand some of it. So there's a level at which purification takes place that's not just intellectual. So we're presenting Krishna consciousness on that transcendental platform, you can say. But also it's true, we want to reach people intellectually. But the other problem is, people are just dull-brained. They're all meatheads. This is Kali Yuga. Their heads are clogged up with all sinful activities, really. They don't have enough punya. So they can't. Look at all the books we distributed. We'd think that we'd have millions of devotees. So many books were distributed. But people, they just can't make heads or tails of them. Even them with the ones that are written in simple language. Because they're just not pious. So part of our preaching, of course, is just to make people pious. get them to take the book and keep it in their house, then they have a deity in their house and they don't know it, or give them prasadam or let them hear the holy name. So as far as, you know, how to present them in the words, of course, things are going on all over the world. I don't know all the kinds of preaching activities that are going on all over. I don't even know what's going on in America. There are so many devotees and so many temples preaching in different ways. There are lots of things that are going on. Some are more effective than others. In some country, they're making more devotees. I think in the former Soviet Union still, there's lots and lots of devotees being made there. So things are going on. We may not always be aware of them. So it's up to, again, of course, we get back to the point of purification. I always like this one purport where Prabhupada says that when the devotee's desire is very pure when he's preaching, then Krishna, as the super soul, he inspires the soul to respond to the preacher, basically. He gives them a nudge. Hey, listen to this person, what they're telling you. So our pure desire to spread Krishna consciousness evokes a response from Krishna to inspire others to listen and take advantage of this knowledge. Oh, let's just take one more question since we're let Mother Vegavati. We're past time, but we'll take one more.
Hare Krishna. Actually, it's a comment. In relation to this question Bhakta Charles Prabhu just asked also, I'd forgotten this, but I read it in a last year's homages to Prabhupada from Prabhupada's disciples. I've been gradually reading along. So Taraka Prabhu from Gita Nagari, he wrote about one day he happened to have the television on. He saw there was a Christian preacher with an audience of like thousands. And he didn't mention his name, but he said that the man kept using phrases like pure devotional service and things that we know from Prabhupada's books. And he was like, what? And he saw the man had a podium and he kept looking back at the book on the podium. And at some point, the man picked the book up. And Taraka was describing that by the angle of the TV camera at different points, he could see, Prabhupada, this is your first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. He could, and so the man was, and then when I told this at the ladies' retreat, and somebody said, oh, that's probably Joel Olstein. Now, I don't know for sure that that's who Taraka's watching, but they said this, and I know that's a very popular person because we used to have his daily calendars in my calendar store. So there are people that are reading Prabhupada's books that have influence over people, mm-hmm. that are getting the concepts across, just like, you know, from since we started to now, the idea of karma, vegetarianism, yeah. spread so much more rapidly than we ever would have dreamed. Mm-hmm. And certainly these are effects.
Yeah, so the effects are there. We may not be aware of them, certainly. All right, I think we'll stop here. She can come and ask me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.